When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create positive change in the world every day by being a conscious consumer. I'm your host, Laura Alexandra Wittig, founder of Brightly.eco, and I started this podcast a few years ago because I wanted a place to talk about the gray areas around sustainability and how being a conscious consumer can be challenging and confusing, but it's totally doable. So join me in the name of reducing waste and living positively in the name of the planet. Hey, Good Together listeners, I am back with another solo episode. And before we get into the episode, which is about microplastics, I wanted to let you know that we are absolutely looking for a few scientists to come on and talk with us about this from a, you know, expert point of view. So I wanted you to know, first of all, this problem is so important. It's probably one of the most important topics we will discuss on this podcast, that we are very committed to bringing on some experts in the space, whether it's some journalists. Alden Wicker will most likely join us on this one again. Scientists that are authoring these reports, scientists that are coming up with some of these solutions that we're going to talk about a little bit. If it makes a difference, I would dedicate at least one episode a month to microplastics because I feel that strongly about it. But the reason why I wanted to come on here and have a solo episode about the topic is because there are certain things that I can do myself as a consumer to limit my exposure to such things, to limit my family's exposure to microplastics. But you may or may not know, I also have a clothing line, a pajama line specifically for kids and adults. It's amazing. It's called Kind Thing, but we just rebranded. So it's actually called Wild Woven now. So you can find us at wildwoven.com. Wild Woven, formerly known as Kind Thing. And as a business owner, there's actually a ton that I can do to prevent microplastics from entering into the environment. So I wanted to talk about it from that perspective as well. So you're going to hear from me personally as Laura, the podcaster, but the person talking about my personal life. But I also wanted to think about it a little bit from a business owner's perspective, because there's absolutely things that I am doing, but there's more things that I should be doing to limit the amount of plastics that are going from my products into the environment, but also into your body. So let's talk about this topic. I will tell you that when I hear the word microplastics, I get extreme anxiety. And the reason for that is because they're ubiquitous. And there are only so many things that we can do as consumers to limit our exposure. Unfortunately, microplastics are everywhere. And we'll talk about that. So I get anxiety. It almost makes me want to go live in the woods and just live in a hole, be a total hermit. But as we'll find out, even if I was living in the woods, I wouldn't be totally safe from microplastics. So it is one of those things that really discourages me and disappoints me. When we talk about climate anxiety, this topic is the one that really triggers me the most. So I wanted to be upfront about that as well, because there's just a lot going on. The other thing I wanted to mention before we get into it is that, as consumers, there's only so much we can do on an individual level. We also should really take a step back and think about the industrial complex for, you know, more or less the past 50 years that has enabled the prevalence of plastics in our daily lives, right? Like after World War II, really, really started to ramp up these plastics that were introduced across almost every single part of our lives. And that complex is who we need to be really pushing on from an activism perspective. Like not only do we need to reduce the amount of plastics that we ourselves are consuming in our households, but we need to be pushing on our legislators, to just really ramp back on this. I'll also mention that different countries in the world prioritize this, you know, differently than others. And so you do have some of these, countries around the world who are swimming in plastic. They're actually lots of times swimming in plastic that we send to them because we can't recycle it over here. And that's where we really see sort of these like horror story type images of plastics and waterways. So suffice it to say, there's certainly not a one-size-fits-all solution for the world. There's certainly not a one-size-fits-all solution for countries. But as consumers, I want us to feel like let's educate ourselves a little bit more about the topic. Let's understand that it's probably going to cause you a little bit of anxiety listening to this. But I'm not here to try and ramp that up. I'm here to try and hopefully use information as a way to empower you and feel like there are certain, you know, to help you feel like there are ways that you can limit this, because there are, there absolutely are. So microplastics, what's going on? There was a huge article that just came out from Fortune. The headline is America has a $250 billion problem. Microplastics have invaded our bloodstreams and they may increase the risk of heart attack and stroke. That is very interesting. Let's talk about why that is, but first let's talk about what microplastics are. So you probably know this, but microplastics are tiny plastic particles less than 5 millimeters in size. And unfortunately, they are found everywhere in our environment, including our oceans, which we knew, air, great, and even the food we eat. Oh, lovely. And we'll talk about why that is. I mean, mostly it has to do with the degradation of plastics that start as a big thing, right? Like as a plate or a plastic plate. That's kind of weird. I guess we don't really use plastic plates anymore. Maybe let's think about like a plastic fork, or a plastic water bottle or a plastic bag. I mean, all of these things that start off as large items, most of the time they can't be recycled. And so they end up in landfills and they start to degrade. And unfortunately, they don't just go away. Like they're not just like biodegrading into substances that, you know, can kind of go back into the soil without harming anything. No, they're literally going into the soil, they're going into the air, into the waterways as these like tiny, tiny little particles that then end up in everything. So an example of this would be seafood, specifically sustainable wild-caught seafood. Everybody always tells you from a diet perspective, you know, fish when consumed in the right way, you know, in moderation, etc., is very healthy for you, right? It's got the omega-3s. It's, you know, something that you should be adding to your diet. If you love sushi like a lot of us do, we're like, great, I'll eat more fish. Even if, so first of all, when you're going to go to a sushi place, it's highly likely, unless it's a very bougie sushi place, probably not wild-caught seafood. It's probably not done in a sustainable manner. But even if you were like the richest person in the world or whatever, you roll up and you're like, I'm only going to eat, you know, the most sustainably wild-caught stuff ever. Give me a list of the certifications. Unfortunately, there's still most likely going to be microplastics in that fish you're eating because the fish is consuming, you know, other fish or other items in the ocean or just existing in an ocean where These microplastics are then being absorbed into their body. And so you as a human go to eat that piece of fish, and there we go. We've got some microplastics happening. You know, from another food perspective, there are, you know, you think about microplastics in our soil and our groundwater, and these are just getting absorbed into the vegetables that we're eating, even if they're organic. Like, even if we're not using pesticides, these microplastics are everywhere. So Richard Thompson first identified the problem of microplastics back in 2004. So that's not that long ago. I'm sure you may or may not remember what was happening in 2004, but it wasn't that long ago. And we're now seeing microplastics found in remote locations like the deep sea and Arctic sea ice. So places where there are no people, we are seeing microplastics around. So that this widespread presence is something I wanted to talk about, because it's something that unfortunately you cannot escape. You cannot put yourself in a bubble. It's not gonna happen. So the reason why they're harmful, there's lots of different reasons, but the one that's interesting that just came out, right, from Fortune, like we just talked about, is, you know, health problems that are now arising. You know, I love it when people talk about, well, the prevalence of the X disease has gone up 50% from generation to generation, and we just don't know why. They love to say that, right? And it's frustrating when you read that, because you're like, cool, I'm part of the generation that you're saying is now 50% more likely to get this disease, but you can't tell me why. Well, I thought it was interesting that we're now, through scientific research, able to tie microplastics to inflammation. And inflammation, as we know, causes lots of health problems. And so some of the researchers just discovered that, you know, not only are these tiny microplastics just taking hundreds of years to degrade, and even when they're degrading, they're not leaving behind anything great, they're also making their way into bloodstreams. And so this is really early days for this research, but what we're finding is, you know, what happens when we get these microplastics inside our bloodstream is they cause inflammation, and this inflammation is leading to things like cancer, strokes, et cetera, metabolic changes in your tissues. So, you know, there's the scope is large, right? I mean, we have seen microplastics in organs, in breast milk, which is awful. And I say breast milk because infants are, you know, getting exposed to microplastics more and more. And as a new mom, when I was trying to figure out how best to feed my baby, I did a combination of breastfeeding and formula feeding. And I felt bad sometimes when I was breastfeeding, because when it came time to, I'm sorry, I felt bad when I was using formula, because it, when it came time to give my baby formula in a bottle, a lot of the bottles that we had were plastic. The second I thought about that, I tried to pitch out as much plastic as possible, but we weren't able to get rid of it completely. We moved to like silicone bottles, and we also moved to like glass bottles, but you'd be surprised at how hard it is to find those items. So I know I just went off on a tangent, but you know, as we're talking about this problem, we're realizing that we're just ingesting this more and more, despite our best efforts, even if you're over here trying to think about it a little bit more like me. And when I was looking at this, you know, we're just really, really at the very beginning of understanding the larger threat to both human, animal, sort of, you know, nature bodies in general. Some estimate that they detail in this article says that health problems related to plastic chemicals cost the U.S. healthcare system $250 billion a year, and that was only in 2018. So you can imagine if the problem is increasing, like we're pretty sure it is, it's probably gone up. They have linked infertility, cancers, neurodevelopment disorders, cardiovascular and kidney diseases have all been linked to the chemical additives that can be embedded in microplastics. So, you know, that is really upsetting, obviously. And when we think about the issue at hand, it is the fact that we can't escape the problem. So I hope that that's been a general primer as to, you know, what microplastics are, where they're found, the problem, that they pose as it relates to human health. We also, of course, know that the problems I'm talking about can absolutely be, you know, thought to be occurring in animals as well. And, you know, well, as we decide to dedicate more podcast episodes to this problem, which I'm now going to commit to, let's dive in, you know, let's talk about the animal part of the problem and et cetera, et cetera. So the point again of this episode is for me to just briefly give you an overview as to why I'm tracking this to the extent that I am. And now maybe we can talk a little bit about microplastics in clothing, which again, I think necessitates its own episode. But I'd like to talk about what I specifically am doing as a business owner in the clothing and apparel industry to limit the amount of plastics that I am exposing my customers to. Okay, so we just talked about the problem as it relates to food consumption. There's also a ton of microplastics being you know, released from clothing. Why is that? Well, we have a lot of synthetic clothing on the market right now, much more so than we would have, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. And I'm talking specifically about polyester and nylon. And this includes recycled polyester, which we do utilize in my clothing line. When it comes to, we have these recycled smock bibs that are great for kids. We use recycled polyester, Reprieve. But even still, that plastic part of the equation is not going away. We think about it from a gray area perspective, and I'll kind of tell you about my thought process there. But let's keep going on the general overview first. So polyester, nylon, other synthetic clothing materials actually shed tiny plastic fibers when they're washed, which is crazy. So those fibers are microplastics. Don't you love my random commentary? That's crazy. Yes, it is crazy. That's why we're talking about this. So in the past, when we've talked about this issue, some of the solutions are, if you want to actually prevent that sort of shedding from happening at your home, there's something called a guppy friend. That's right. That's what it's called. And it's this little device that you can put into your laundry that actually helps just capture those threads. So that's cool. Guppy bag. There's also, I'm forgetting the name of the other item. We'll put it in the show notes. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but I'm thinking of what it looks like right now. It almost looks like a little ball that you put into your laundry, and that helps capture things. But really, if you want to try and reduce the risk of plastics coming into contact with your skin, and, you know, facilitating some kind of transfer of microplastics there, or at least, you know, the chemicals involved, the main thing is to try and reduce your particular consumption of clothing that has those materials. So again, those athletic type materials like the, you know, polyester, nylon, etc. Microfiber, that's a huge one, right? That is so ubiquitous. Like, if you look on a tag of anything that's like soft that you buy at the store, it's microfiber. And so that is made of polyester, and there you go. So you can kind of remember that piece.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store, or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thinking about the fibers that go into the clothing that you wear is important. And as a business owner, I really thought long and hard about the fibers that I was going to use for our pajamas. So the pajamas that we use at Wild Woven, or that we produce and sell at Wild Woven, are made of Tencel Modal. Modal is a fabric that is derived from wood pulp, specifically from beech trees. You probably have heard of bamboo. Bamboo is also a similar type of fabric. The chemical processing that is required to produce bamboo versus modal is quite different. There's a lot more of sort of a nasty system that goes into producing bamboo versus modal. And we have Tencel Modal, which is actually a certification that is applied to our modal that certifies that it's produced in a more sustainable manner. That is, you know, whether we're talking about the chemicals, we're talking about the water sort of that gets flushed off in the process. There's a really specific process that has to happen for that modal to be certified as Tencel. And that is done from a corporation called Balenciaga Corporation. So I, as a business owner, work with factories and manufacturers to make sure that the material that we're using in our pajamas has that certification. And then I have to, in order to be able to make that claim, I have to provide those certificates to Lensing, who then looks at them, says, yes, this is actually true. They give me tags that we can put on our clothing, which we do. And that allows me to use that certification without being a BS person or a greenwashing person. So that's something that's been really important to me as I started off and wanted to make this company. Now, here's where I'm going to get real about places we need to improve and, you know, and talk about I am not perfect and this is crazy. So one of the big selling points of Wild Woven's pajamas, whether we're talking about for kids or adults, is that there's a little bit of stretch to it. And that stretch allows it to be more comfortable, sort of like less restricting, and last longer. So you can think about whether you're thinking about clothing for you, yourself, or your kids, our bodies change constantly. Probably they change a little bit more rapidly with kiddos, but you'll know what I'm talking about when I mention, you know, going through different size changes throughout the years, etc. So if you have a little bit of stretch in your clothing, it's going to last longer from a longevity perspective in terms of you being able to wear it for longer. So we actually do have our modal blend that we use in our fabric is 95% Tencel Modal and 5% spandex. Spandex, as we know, as we think about that, is one of those athletic type materials that absolutely, you know, contains, you know, polyester. And is there going to be a very small portion of the fabric that has that potential plastic or microplastic part of the equation? I mean, using the information that we're all presented with, folks, the answer is yes. So it's not perfect, but the trade-off that I've made in terms of, you know, again, we talk about the trade-offs all the time, the gray space, the gray area in sustainability and conscious consumerism, etc., is that I've said, look, I am using best in class product for 95% of this formulation. The other 5% exists not just because it can exist, it exists for a purpose. So what I'm actually doing is I'm working with our manufacturers right now to identify a spandex blend that is less harmful. So Alden Wicker, you guys know I love Alden. I'm like the biggest fangirl for her. That Alden's been on the podcast before. She is an investigative journalist in the field specifically of sustainable fashion, but she's also started to expand into other, you know, issues facing conscious consumers, which, you know, would come back to microplastics. She has identified, along with, you know, some scientists, etc., there are a few different blends out there of spandex that are less harmful. So they are less likely to, you know, result in any type of plastic shedding. And, you know, they're made in some instances with bio-based polymers, so bio-based sort of more degradable type plastics. So my manufacturer and I right now are actively seeking this, and I don't care if it costs more. That's the other thing. That's why most of the time, when we come back to thinking about plastics, plastic for most for all intents and purposes, is cheap. It's cheap. It's widely available. That's why it's used in so many different ways throughout our lives. So as a, manufacturer, I don't care. I don't care if it's going to cost a little bit more money. Either I am going to eat that from a cost perspective, or maybe we end up having to raise a price on our pajama by like a dollar or something. And we explain it to you as the consumer and say, look, I'm not adding this dollar to the cost that I'm going to just put it back in my pocket. It's because the materials now cost a little bit more because we are using even better quality spandex in our blend. So that's one thing. Another thing that I found to be fascinating is, and Alden actually had a article not talking about the microplastic perspective of this, but the PFAS, PFAS part of the equation, the sort of harmful synthetics that go into some of these plastics. She was talking about it from a labeling perspective. So get this, most clothing nowadays has tagless labels, which if you're a sensory focused person like I am, I love this. I love that I don't have like a sewn in tag on my neck. Like it doesn't exist for a lot of reasons now. It's cheaper, but also people got sick of feeling that. So that's kind of why we've moved in general to a tagless situation with clothing, my line with Wild Woven included. When I started off Wild Woven, and that was known as Kind Thing back then, I was working with my manufacturer. I was asking questions about everything, but still some things escaped me, such as we had for a long time, and we do still on some of our older product, have tags that were stamped in using a plastic-based ink. And the reason for that is because that tag will last just indefinitely on that fabric. When you use ink, which is what, once I figured out that this was plastic, I said, okay, no, we're not going to use this anymore. I don't want to use plastic in my product like this. No way. Manufacturer said, sure, fine. Let's move to ink. So we did. And that's what we do now. The problem is that ink fades. And I have actually a few pieces of Wild Woven clothing where the ink has started to fade and you can't see like the size as well as you should be able to, or as well as you could with this plastic based piece. So that's one place where, again, I'm working now with the manufacturer to say, hey, can we make the ink, I don't know, thicker? Can we, figure out a situation where it's not going to fade as much? Like we're going back and forth with each other. And again, we're researching alternatives that don't have this sort of just like quote unquote plastic label. So again, more to come there. I am continually pushing to make my product as eco-friendly as it possibly can be. And I know that it can't be perfect like anything, but I'm pushing. The last piece I'll talk about when it comes to my clothing line is the packaging. So that one to me was kind of a no-brainer, if you will. Having products that were not put plastic wrapped, right? Not put in plastic, both from an inner bag perspective and an outer bag perspective. So let's talk about the inner bag. So most clothing, most any item that you receive, whether it's from Amazon or a small business, et cetera, is wrapped in plastic. It just is. Why? I mean, most of the time it's to quote unquote protect the product when it's being shipped to you. A lot of stuff doesn't really need that protection. So again, it's just become so ubiquitous. We're just so used to seeing it. I mean, what about those stupid plastic clamshells that you see at the drugstore or that, have toys, when you buy toys? Like, not only are those things such a pain in the butt to open, like, why? We don't need them. So, making sure that I was not putting products out into the ecosystem that were wrapped in plastic was really important to me. So the inner bags that, surround our clothing right now are compostable. So they are made of bio-based polymers that degrade and compost at home. And once they degrade, they're not harmful to the environment. So both our inner and outer bags have these certifications, and it's something that I felt really important and really strongly about. That being said, there is still debate in the scientific community about whether or not these bio-based polymers are like the most eco-friendly thing, right? The most eco-friendly thing when it comes to any of this type of stuff is just nothing, right? Like, how do we get back to, like, the most natural type materials, period? So what we're in the process of doing right now, for at least for our inner packaging, is I'm just transitioning to paper. So they're like paper, craft paper sleeves that are going over the pajamas. And it actually looks super cool. I think it looks way cooler than even our compostable bag. And I'm super excited for that. Our outer bags will still most likely be this home compostable packaging. And the reason for that is we typically need a flexible type packaging situation compared to like a cardboard sleeve. Like if I'm going to put 3 or 4 pajamas in something, I could use a cardboard box, which of course we do use. But shipping costs are substantially higher when you use cardboard boxes just because of the nature. Like they're not they just take up more volume. So we will continue to use those home compostable bags. But again, I looked all over for a really great manufacturer who has helped me make sure that the type of material that we're using for these bags is great. It's certified by BPI Test Labs and something, an organization called Denserto. Basically, the product, in order to get that certification, these mailers have to break down within 90 days in commercial compost and 180 days in domestic compost conditions, including worm farm compost. And after degradation, they must leave no harmful residues behind. So it's mostly made of corn and, you know, is really trying to push the needle there. No microplastics left behind. So you guys have heard me talk for a while about microplastics. You've heard me talk about what I'm doing in my own business to reduce them. Like I said, I would love to dedicate more episodes to specifically talking about, you know, the clothing piece, the food piece, the health piece. There's so many things we can go into, and we're going to do that. So that's my promise to you. As always, when we leave these episodes, I want us to have actionable tips and tricks to take. So first of all, I think the main action out of this episode is that I wanted you to be informed about microplastics. I want you to read that Fortune article. We will link to it in show notes, but it's literally, if you Google microplastics Fortune, you're going to get this interesting health related topic. There's also another good article from Fast Company the quote unquote, the godfather of microplastics talks about the challenges of getting rid of plastic pollution. It's another great one. So again, we'll include links. Mr. Godfather Microplastics, if you're listening to this episode, I want you to come on and talk to us. We will be reaching out. But that is, so number one, you've gotten educated. And I think that is really important. So what are you going to do now with this knowledge? I want you to think about the materials that are in your clothing. I want you to not get a complex about it. Please try not to. I know it's hard. Maybe be a little bit more mindful about buying polyester-based sort of like athletic-related, blends of things. I want you to continue to reduce your plastic consumption, whether you're buying stuff that's wrapped in it at the grocery store. It's so tempting to get that like bag of green beans. And I did it the other day because there weren't any green beans not in plastic. But you know what I'm talking about. Like if you need to get a vegetable, go over, use your own cloth bags, just cut down that bit of plastic, right? Just do stuff like that. Making sure we're doing our, silicone sort of Ziploc type bags rather than individual Ziplocs. Like all of those types of individual plastic reduction, pieces are going to help you whether or not you're trying to, be super crazy about it. and then the other thing is, don't heat things up in plastic. Please don't. The amount of people that do that still drives me bonkers. If you have some food, and unfortunately, a lot of times in a takeout situation, you don't have the ability to reduce plastics. You can. I have done this before. If you go to a place regularly, you can show up with your own containers and say, put the food in here. I've actually done this. It's not that hard. It's a little weird, but I'm telling you, If you're a regular and they know you, you can establish that relationship. But if you are getting takeout and you get in plastic, I got some Thai food the other day. I got a curry and here we go, some curry and some plastic. please, for the love of God, do not put that curry or that plastic takeout thing in the microwave. Oh, doing that, absolutely. Heating up plastic is a great way to leach chemicals and bits and pieces into your food. So don't do that. Take it out of the plastic as soon as you get home. Put it in your glass jar. That's how you're going to reheat it. And then finally, just again, being cognizant of just plastics around you. So again, I hope you've learned something from this episode. I myself am committed to personally reducing my plastic consumption, but also continuing to educate myself about microplastics so that I can better speak to it when asked, so that I can push my legislators and the corporations that I do business with, basically, to continue to reduce plastics at the higher level. And then just to try and expose my family less to this is really important. Is it easy? No. If somebody tells you it's easy, they're full of crap. I think we actually did a reel about this. People who say it's easy to reduce your exposures to plastic personally, that's not easy. So just know that I'm here with you. We're all going through this together. We're all feeling a little bit of anxiety in this space. So I'm going to keep bringing on experts to educate us here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, you'll find show notes at brightly.eco. If you're interested in learning more about pajamas, head to wildwoven.com. And as always, please let me know your feedback. Give me a DM. Give me a DM on Brightly. Give me a DM on Wildwoven. I read all of it. So hope you have a great rest of your week, folks. And we're, like I said, watch for me to bring on more people to talk about this really important issue. Join us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social media. You'll find us on almost everything at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together, so have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.